This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon. A tentative $2.5 million settlement to that lawsuit involving former 38 Studios head Kurt Schilling and three other 38 Studios executives was recently announced. It now needs a judge's approval. We're going to discuss this with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
When you heard about this, your initial reaction to word of the proposed settlement?
Well, it sounds to me like it's pretty much all they could get. You know, a lot of folks, I guess, reacted wondering, boy, this doesn't seem like a lot of money. But I think they don't realize that Kurt Schilling pretty much lost almost everything he had. He sunk, at least by some estimates, you know, upwards of $50 million into the company. He had to sell, you know, one of his houses. I mean, he's not independently wealthy at this stage, certainly not like he was before he started this venture. I mean, he was looking at this as being, and he even said it publicly, you know, multi-billion dollar business, and he was willing to invest his own, you know, his own skin in the game.
For months and months, we heard from Kurt Schilling through various media that he wanted to tell his story at the trial, and now that's not happening.
Well, there is still one trial left. I mean, there's one, you know, there's one company that's a financial advisor, First Southwest, that is contesting. It contested these settlements, and its arguments were rejected, but the state is still going after it for, essentially saying, you know, they did a bad job advising the state on this investment.
Getting back to the $2.5 million settlement, there was a thorough check of assets of the four individuals, including Kurt Schilling, and it went to an insurance settlement.
Well, I think that all along, I mean, I think to a certain degree, when observers looked at this, they thought the money was going to come from insurance policies, and that's what this is the insurer for the, you know, the board and the officers of the company. So the money was going to come from there as well. I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, we really ought to, you know, stick it to them. But to a certain degree, you know, that would be like getting blood from a stone. And I don't know personally, but it's difficult to imagine that there were a lot of assets there. And especially since, you know, the folks who've looked at it say that, you know, they really did a thorough investigation and there wasn't a lot to be had.
Should First Southwest and the state end up with a settlement, might we ever really know what happened in terms of setting up the whole deal?
Well, given the fact that the state itself criminally has decided there were no, you know, there's nothing to be criminally charged here, it's possible that no, we won't know exactly how it came about. I mean, we've heard drips and drabs. You know, the first storyline was, well, you know, Governor Cacciari, I mean, he was a Republican. Kurt Schilling was a Republican. You know, this was sort of, one Republican taking care of another. But it really seems a lot more complex than that. You know, that the Speaker of the House at the time, Gordon Fox, and Michael Corso, who was, is a lawyer who's involved in actually a lot of these sort of tax credit marketing and selling. You know, he does a lot of that kind of deal making business, that he was somehow involved and Fox was somehow involved. But so far, and no criminal activity was found. So, and the point was, it was then presented to Cacciari, and it involved Keith Stokes and Michael Saul, who were the number one and two at the time, the EDC, which was the agency, which was spearheading this effort. So, I'm not sure we'll ever know all of the backroom conversations. Certainly, I think what's interesting to me, though, is. Yes, it would be interesting to know what happened. And if there was criminal behavior, then it should be prosecuted. But we're not going to see that. I think the more far-reaching issue is the state ever going to sort of get past this? And I think it's a kind of a perfect storm. At the same time that this, you know, we had the recession going on, we had also a lot more scrutiny of public investment of things. So, you know, you had this large public investment go south. And so people are really sort of on edge about any kind of public investment. And you see the result, and which is that, Governor Raimondo, who, of course, started her career famously or was in her career famously as a venture capitalist, understands the nature of investments, that some work and some don't. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how she navigates the, you know, post 38 Studios.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're discussing the $2.5 million settlement in the 38 Studios lawsuit with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Let's get back to that point, Mark, about putting 38 studios behind us in terms of state policy.
Well, what you see, you know, is the governor, the programs that she's been initiating are all, you could call them, to use the baseball metaphor, small ball. I mean, you know, they're very concrete. A lot of them have to do with real estate, with helping real estate deals happen. And they involve the state sort of nudging along, you know, different things where, you know, the investor, the developer in some case, is going to be doing most of the investment itself. And so I think that's really the climate we're in. It's going to be very difficult for anyone in state government into the foreseeable future to become sort of the lead, you know, investor or developer of something. It's going to be, you know, it's just going to be very difficult in the current environment.
And what about the government answering the public attitude over this?
Well, I think you see the call for more transparency. I mean, you know, you've got the fact that the 38 studios documents are being, you know, held back by the Attorney General's Office of State Police. You know, there's all sorts of people are calling for release of these documents. I think you're going to see more and more and more of those kinds of calls, and not just about 38 studios, but anytime, you know, the state is investing any of its own money, or in a sense, giving away future revenue, which to a large degree is what tax credits are. You know, it's not so much that they're giving away money, it's rather that they're foregoing money that, you know, would come in based on whatever development or growth or investment is going to be, is projected to come.
Do you feel that stricter precautions and safeguards might be written into state policy because of 38 studios?
I think yes, and I think that that's appropriate. Obviously, the public's money, needs to be guarded carefully. However, you know, you can look at the 38 studios deal and say, to a certain degree, those kinds of, you know, overly cautious things might have contributed to the company going under. And it's unclear, you know, sort of how much longer they would have needed before they launched their big project. But one of the keys was that in order to get the money from the state, the loan, you know, the loan proceeds, they have to meet certain employment goals. Now, if you're in a startup mode, you know, one of the things you have to do is conserve your cash. But the way that the state wrote the agreement down is it actually demanded that they burn more cash. So, you know, it might have actually, you know, made the company go under faster than it would have if it had been operating on more of a sort of a standard startup mode. And I'm not saying that, you know, they wouldn't have run out of money anyway. It's just that you have to be careful, you know, when you're looking at it, that you don't swing so far in the other end, you know, in the other direction, that you don't impede, you know, what might be sort of normal procedures for a lot of businesses. You have to recognize that there are different ways, you know, the different ways that startups and mature companies work, and just sort of keep that in mind.
Okay, on this bottom line, we've been looking at where the 38 Studios lawsuit by the state stands at this point with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks again, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.